Inconceivable!
Will you please act like you have more than a two-word vocabulary?
Is there air? You don't know!
And now, a yak.
Yak?
Hey, don't touch that dial. You found Secular Yakking.
I'm Robert.
And I'm Amy.
After years.
Many years of yakking at each other.
We're here to yak at you.
So sit back and enjoy the yakking.
Welcome back, yakkers. Hope you had a nice year or so, because we've been gone for about a year.
Has it been a year?
It has been a year. Over a year.
Wow, time sure flew.
It did. And I would do some Twitter followers, but honestly, I don't know where we left off, so we'll just start over, or starting from now.
I think we need to start fresh anyways.
That's a good idea. All right, I suppose I don't have any more news, so we'll go right into the stories.
Okay, if that's how you want to play this.
Okay. So first story we have is last week, the Trump administration introduced a new federal office, the Division of Conscious and Religious Freedom. Under the new protection, doctors, nurses, and other medical professionals are permitted to refuse care to or deny certain procedures that go against their moral or religious beliefs.
That's just ridiculous.
Yeah, I agree. Well, under Obama-era policies, medical professionals were not permitted to refuse treatment to patients based on their own moral and religious beliefs. The Trump policy reverses the Obama-era policies, which many were enforced mainly to protect LGBTQ people and women. More information about the new office is still being released, but the policies seem primarily to protect healthcare workers from participating in abortions that go against their personal or religious beliefs. However, the protections could extend to the care of transgender patients seeking to transition.
Wow, that's ridiculous, though. I mean, that they're even able to bring this up.
Yeah, it's kind of sad, because here's what I'm afraid is going to happen, is that the doctors and pharmaceutical people will be able to stop giving out birth control because it goes against their religious beliefs, or they will.
Well, there's actually several procedures that they can go against.
Right. So let's say a gay person walks in, they could, by this law, not serve them because their religious beliefs go against treating gay people, say. I think this is a really dangerous law. Or it's not a law, it's a division of the executive branch.
Now, is this enforced now, or is this something they're just proposing?
No, it's part of the administration now. There's an actual division that covers these.
Oh, that's just... I don't understand the, you know, lack of morals and humanity that people have.
Yeah, I know. It's ridiculous. I mean, they claim to be such good people, but everything they do is against anything ethical at all.
Yes, and completely self-serving and not putting someone else's position into their thoughts and, you know, what maybe they may need, not for their own personal self.
Yeah, and I've always said, if you go into a position of serving the public and your religion says you can't serve all the public, then you don't go into that position. If you can't do the job, don't do the job.
Right, exactly. You know, you need to choose another profession. I mean, it's not like you're going to go and do something that you absolutely hate, or at least you sure shouldn't. Then, you know, if this is the same point, if this is against your beliefs, then you need to go somewhere else that goes with your beliefs.
Right. I mean, it's unlikely you're going to be see a Muslim working at a hog factory, you know?
Exactly.
So it's...
Or a vegetarian.
Yeah. I mean, if these are... And the sad part is it uses terms like personal and religious beliefs. So even if you have just a personal belief against it, you don't have to do it. It doesn't even have to be a religious objection.
That's a really good point. So if you're just kind of ticked off today, you could just say, hey, well, that's against my personal beliefs. I'm not doing this.
Yeah, it's just absolutely ridiculous what Trump administration is doing with this one. We had protections under Obama, and he's just destroyed all of them.
Well, like I've always said, if anything has Obama's name attached to it, he has to get rid of that.
Exactly. Such an idiot.
Yep.
Anyways, I have a better story.
Okay.
So, For the first time, no religion has topped a survey of America's religious identity. According to a new analysis by a political scientist, the non-religious edged out Catholics and evangelicals as the long-running generals in the long-running general social survey.
Wow, that's good.
Yeah. Ryan Burge, a political scientist at Eastern Illinois University and a Baptist pastor, found that 23.1% of Americans now claim no religion. Catholics came in at 23, and evangelicals came in at 22.5. Now, I do have a minor problem with his numbers.
Okay.
Catholics and evangelicals are technically still Christians, so Christianity still has the lead.
I was just going to say that, because that's still basically, in my point of view, the same damn thing.
Right, but a lot of people look at Catholics and evangelicals as two separate kinds of religion because of the way they go about their practices.
But to me, evangelicals just mean they're a little more into it, into their faith than...
Not necessarily. Their practices are way different. I mean, if you look at how a Catholic mass goes as compared to, say, a Baptist service, two totally different things. They're almost two separate religions the way they act. In fact, even on the political scale, a lot of times Catholics and evangelicals are on different sides of a lot of issues.
Oh, uh-huh.
So, I can see how people would classify them as different religions, even though they fall under the same broad religion of Christianity. They have definitely different religious practices. I mean, evangelicals don't take the blood of Christ.
Right. But they still believe in their God, which outruns the no religious, you know?
Right. But... taken as that, and even as their numbers, we're still roughly half of what they are.
Yeah.
So that's pretty good.
It's like a little slow choo-choo train up the hill.
Well, it was slow until about 10 years ago. Then it just kind of grew exponentially. I remember, I think we did a story on this before, and last time we were like 15%.
Yes, we were.
Yeah, so we're getting bigger, and we're getting more vocal.
Yeah.
And I think we're scary.
And I think a lot of it has to do with, you know, having access to the internet. The world has shrunk now.
Right.
You know, people can educate themselves without having to listen to someone's word for it.
Well, even with that, they can check what their pastor is saying, seeing if what he's saying is true.
That's true, too. As well as video.
Yeah. You can catch them. And there's so many pastors and priests being caught in these scandals that a lot of people are just saying, no, I don't want to be religious.
Right. Well, so it's been having a lot of...
You're saying?
I was just going to say that it also, you know, lately religion has been having a lot of, you know, not so great things attached to it. And for the younger generation, it's just giving just religion in itself a bad name.
Right. Well, if you look at church practice over the past couple generations, been getting lower and lower, because, you know, 100 years ago you went to church every couple days, and then, you know, 60 years ago you went to church twice a week, and then 30 years ago you went once a week, and then now people are going, you know, twice a year, three times a year
on holidays.
On holidays, and which the next generation is going to be, you know, we don't go to church at all, and then in a few generations somebody's going to say, what's a church?
Right. That'll be in our lifetime, though.
Oh, no. That's why I said a few generations, you know, 150, 200 years. The concept of a church will be, you know, just an outdated thing. Like, I don't know, like the stocks, right? People used to know exactly where the stocks were in your village. We don't have those anymore. And eventually the same thing's going to happen for a church. They just won't be a church. They'll just be meeting houses.
Right.
So that's one thing to look forward to. But I do have one more story for us that is not so... Well, it's kind of middle of the road.
Okay.
Okay. So a sheriff's office in Missouri caused a stir in Facebook last month with a public Happy Easter post featuring an image of a cross and the words, He has risen. The Easter post came from Greene County Sheriff's Office, garnered 194 comments by Monday afternoon, some of which called the move inappropriate and potentially a violation of First Amendment of the Constitution. On April 22nd, the legal director of American Humane Association wrote an email encouraging the sheriff's department to think twice about making posts like that in the future. He says, you should consider what those adhering to Jewish, Hindu, Muslim, and Wiccan and humanist beliefs must think when they see a sheriff using his office to promote Christianity, David Niozzi wrote. This hardly sends a message that your office works for the good of all.
I agree.
Yeah. I mean, this is something that the American Humane Association does quite often. And this is the same sheriff who started the In God We Trust on Patrol Vehicles issue a few years ago that we covered pretty heavily.
Yeah.
Yeah, he says, Sheriff, it's a Sheriff Arnott is his name. And he says, anything we do is going to have critics. That's really all I can say about it. So the problem is he knows what he's done is wrong, especially if he is expecting to be criticized for it.
That's exactly what I was just going to say. He already knows that, you know, obviously if there's critics, it's against what I'm supposed to be doing. Not to mention, he is there to serve and protect all. He should not be right. promoting one particular thing, because if someone who's not that thing gets pulled over, you're going to get kind of nervous about it.
Yeah. I mean, I'd be worried getting pulled over in his county. Hell, I know people in his county that do. You know,
yeah, I mean, especially if you have like a bumper sticker or something.
Yeah. And you worry because you know they've got In God We Trust on their bumper stickers. And he's posting overtly religious Easter messages? No, not comfortable.
No, there should be no message of any religion of any kind on government vehicles ever.
Well, and especially law enforcement. I mean, are they now the Christian police force?
That's what it sounds like.
Yeah, I mean, this is not good. And we've sometimes I feel like I'm beating a dead horse on this one, but you can't just prefer one religion on your law enforcement. Which is exactly what he's done.
Right.
This guy's got a history of being an overtly Christian, I don't know, evangelist, I guess.
Well, and from what it sounds like, he doesn't really seem to care either.
No, he doesn't, because he knows he's got the majority, and he knows he's got the numbers behind him. So he just keeps doing what he's doing until, you know, like our last story, eventually he's going to be in the minority.
Someday.
Yeah.
I am an old man, and most people hate me, but I don't like them either, so that makes it all even.
Well, I'll have to say I did miss listening to that Potter intro, because it's awesome.
Yeah, and that means we have another Potter Award winner, which is interesting on itself. After a year and a half, I'm still doing this and still finding Potter Awards.
Oh, and I got a feeling we'll find many now.
Oh, yeah. Anyway, on to this one. A Washington State Republican politician took part in a private discussion with right-wing figures about carrying out surveillance, or PSYOPs, even violent attacks on perceived political enemies. State Representative Matt Shea, who represents Spokane Valley in the Washington State House, participated in chats with three other men. All of the men used screen aliases. Shea's was Verum Bellator, which is Latin for true warrior. Already sounds like a winner, right?
Right?
These men proposed to confront leftists, whom they repeatedly referred to as communist and Antifa, with a suite of tactics including violence.
So was this something they were planning on carrying out?
Sounds like it.
Yeah.
So let's look at the messages and see what they say. One says, we locate Antifa members when we can confront their parents, their workplaces, their landlords. We can hit them in their safe spaces.
Wow.
Yeah, that sounds lovely. Then they say, this should become a pure PSYOPs operation. And it goes on, if we can catch a few of them alone at work and work them over a little bit, fistful hair, a face slam, to a Jersey barrier, treat them like communist revolutionaries, then shave her head with a K-bar USMC field knife.
Holy crap. That's a threat if I ever heard one.
You think? It goes on.
Okay.
Would make good attachment points for hoisting communists up flags, especially the ones with nipple rings.
Wow.
Yeah. Now, Matt himself didn't say the things directly, but he is a willing part of this four-person conversation and did not at any point object. In fact, he offered to assist in parts.
Is any of them being reprimanded for this?
We'll get into that a little bit.
Oh, okay.
He says, okay, what background checks need to be done? Give me the list. And then he came back later and says, I have several names. They've come up. Any info out there? So
they're literally, I was just going to say, they're literally basically basically hunting for these people.
Yeah. And they plan on harassing and obviously assaulting them.
Well, from what I understand, when you harass someone, basically it's considered a hate crime, which is also illegal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Shea defended his action by saying he has the right to do background checks on people who threaten him. Now, here's the weird thing. He's only doing background checks on the Antifa, right? which is right. anti-fascism, and the only way that they threaten him is if he's a fascist. So yeah, they are looking into this. But to be be a Potter Award winner, you have to do a little extra. And
of
he
course.
Comes through with flying colors. he may have also violated state laws by using surplus campaign funds to make at least $5,000 in contributions to far-right nonprofit organizations that are not registered as charities. And the Washington state law requires charities to be registered to the state to receive surplus campaign funds.
That doesn't surprise me at all.
Yeah. His surplus campaign account made a donation to an anti-Muslim hate group, Americans for America of Centennial, Colorado. Not only is he designating the far-right groups that the Southern Poverty Law Center designates as hate groups, but they're not registered as charities either.
Of course.
So he's financing hate groups and breaking finance campaign law.
Yet he's still in that position.
Yeah, currently still in that position. But
right.
all that still didn't qualify him for the Potter Award. Because you got to be extra special.
Right.
And he is an extra special little snowflake. Because in November 2018, Shea released a four-page Christian manifesto titled Biblical Basis for War. The document calls for biblical law and suggests that those men who supply gay marriage and abortion rights should be executed.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, there were a ton of things in that four-page manifesto that called for execution. This is just one of them. And probably one of the biggest ones.
That just sounds like that should have legal ramifications.
Oh, it did. County Sheriff Ozzy Kaninovich, don't know that word.
Yeah.
Said that he sent the manifesto to the FBI for investigation, noting, the document Mr. Shea wrote is not a Sunday school project or an academic study. It is a how-to manual consistent with the ideology and operating philosophy of a Christian identity Aryan Nations movement and the Redoubt movement of the 1990s. So basically what he's saying is this guy is a Nazi.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like.
So it makes sense that from the first story that he should be treated as a fascist because the anti-fi are against him. And from the second story, he seems like a hypocrite because he's funding anti-Muslim hate groups when he himself is
correct.
Seems like the leader of a hate group.
Yeah.
He
has a history of it, so it's not changing. Yeah. Who he is.
And he got elected. It's ridiculous.
That's the horrible part.
Yeah. He defended his manifesto while making ridiculous claims that he's being persecuted and the U.S. is really a Christian nation.
Of course he's being persecuted.
Yeah, because we're calling him out on his hate.
Right.
Yeah. So it's guys like this that are causing all the problems. Well, not all problems, but a huge amount of problems in this nation right now. He's the reason that we have so many hate crimes going on right now. Is because we allow guys like this to sit in legislatures without punishment.
They keep getting elected into these positions and nothing happens to them. Well, technically they're getting rewarded once they're elected into these positions.
And sadly enough, he's probably going to get reelected because of the area that it's from Spokane Valley.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's probably going to get reelected. It's just ridiculous.
And, you know, as far as, you know, in order to qualify for a Potter Award, you have to do this because that's what you want and you don't care what other people have to say about it, which is exactly what he has proven in his past and in his present.
Yeah. And that's why he is supremely qualified for this Mr. Potter Award.
Because he's an ass.
Yeah. Well, before we, shut down for this episode, we needed to do a little explaining about the way we're recording this. We are not sitting in the same room when we record this. In fact, we're not even on the same continent. We're not even in the same hemisphere. Nope. So I am sitting in Antarctica, and Amy is sitting back in North America. So we have about 8,000 miles.
Yeah, and the delay between us makes this really difficult. So it'll take us just a few episodes to get the swing back in.
Yeah, so excuse the odd editing that's about to happen on this. And I hope you continue to enjoy our show because we're going to continue making it.
Yep, and hopefully you will continue to listen and you'll more than likely notice that the episodes get better and get back to the way it used to be. But being on two different continents, two opposite ends of the world, it's going to take us a few episodes to get back in the swing and make this nice and smooth again.
Yep, but we'll get there. Don't worry about it. Anyway,
yes, we will.
That's all I got for you this week.
This is all the yakking I've gotten on my end.
All right. We'll see you guys next week.
Next week.
We always like to hear your feedback, so leave us a voicemail at 704-802-YAK or an email at podcast@secularyakking.com.
More input.
All comments are welcome. We like to hear the good, the bad, and the ugly. You also can find us on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and Google+.
If you like our show, head over to your podcast directory of choice and leave us a 5-star review. If you really like the show, support the show on our Patreon page.
I'd buy that for $1.
And we'll be back next week with more yakking to please your eardrums.
Bye-bye, boys!
Have fun storming the castle!
Think it'll work?
It would take a miracle.
Bye-bye! Bye.